This right here, homegrownradio.net presents. We're going to say it's some untitled shit right here because we don't have a name just yet. And that's the beauty of this.
It's whole, loose, it's formal.
Exactly. Get close to that mic.
Loose cannon?
Loose cannon. And that's what's dope about this, man. It's organic. It's upfront. It's some new shit. And we don't know what's going to come out of this. And maybe by the end of the show, we'll have an official name for this series that you're about to hear right now.
I think since we got like these two gods in here, these two actually gods. It's like three.
It's a couple of gods in the building.
Sparkle Loke,
the god
is sitting in our presence too.
Absolutely.
So maybe, you know, I say since these are the first,
oh shit,
we let them.
Yeah, wow. Do that. I like that.
Let you there first.
First and foremost. No, I mean we could get to that like at the end, but okay, I think we let them just name it. Because they're the first.
It makes sense, right?
It's like the forefathers, the godfathers, the
whatever you want to say. First of all, my name is Chuck Dizzle, host of homegrownradio.net. You can catch us Thursday nights. Got to do a little shameless plug on that. To my right, who we got?
This is Easy, easystreet.com. It'll be back soon. But in the meantime, just know I'm at Complex doing some random shit.
Nice.
To my a diagonal front. What is this? My diagonal.
Diagonal right.
Yeah, my diagonal right. There we go. Yeah. Use one of them college words. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
This is Andre, features editor at hiphopdx.com.
Absolutely. And to my front right here.
It's Low Key. You heard that new.com editor and founder and host extraordinaire.
And true. For the most part, man, we were talking off air before the mics cut on. And Easy, you did a great job at saying this off air, so I want you to kind of give the people a synopsis of what they're about to experience at this point in time.
The pressure. Hi, Janae. So basically, the show is a roundtable discussion. You're going to hear from Chuck pretty much every week, but we're going to rotate people and just talk about things that are relevant to the culture. You know, some of it will deal with music, some of it deals with not. It might have a musician not talking about music, and like Chuck said, the beauty of it is there's no real format, but it's still 100% real, organic, and to the point, and it's always relevant.
Right. And we're bringing different influences, brands, you know, personalities and what have you that's relevant to the culture, mm-hmm, to get their input and
right,
obviously, you know, speak their piece on everything. The first thing that I can just throw out there, I mean, obviously it just happened a couple days ago. Shit, the Grammys. You know what I mean? Just what do you guys feel about the hip hop presence, or you know, the notable hip hop moments? You know, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the Grammys?
I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of it's either we gotta be fully invested in making rap, you know, really, you know, a prevalent part of that show, or we just got to give it up and walk away from it, because it's a lot of people who want to half-ass get mad when certain things don't go their way,
right,
and you know, then they want to rejoice when things do go their way. Mm-hmm. And I remember when they made the nominations a couple months back, people were up in arms about, you know, Iggy Azalea, mm-hmm, and you know, certain people being left off like YG and you know whatnot, but a lot of those people that do make that argument aren't a part of the, you know, the Grammy committee, the voting committee.
Right.
And then I tweeted the link out. I'm like, well, if you're not a part of this, then you probably need to be, you know, to shut up or sign up.
Right.
Because it's like you can't get this mad and up in arms when you want to. Like, if you're part of the committee, then yeah, you have a right to make, you know, make some noise and your voice is not being heard. Yeah, that's cool. But if you're just on Twitter and just, you know, ready for the rants Grammy night, then it's like, we've been down that road. We do that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I do understand that, you know, rap, hip-hop, period, just needs the presence felt a little bit more. But it's got to start with us, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, guys are making good music. YG had a great album. Schoolboy had a great album. You know, so on and so forth. But, you know, we as supporters and consumers got to do a little bit more if we're going to, you know, rant and rave when we don't get those album of the year nods, or you know, singles of the year nods, or whatever have you. It just got to be a little bit more on our part, instead of, you know, relying on them to come to our communities and come to our websites or whatever you want to call it, and not recognizing the work that these guys are putting in.
Yo, it's, you know, it shouldn't be an either or thing, but it kind of is. I don't know what's it going to take for right, the Grammys to get that hip hop is the cultural,
the driving force.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Artifact of our time. And for them to get hit to the fact that you really got to start taking it seriously.
Mm.
And there is that aspect of, you know, the hip hop community has to go to the Grammys and get involved, and they have to buy records and all of that. But at the same time, no one's selling records these days, and that's even the playing field a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grammys are just still so off base in terms of like what's actually happening in the genre, and it's crazy to me that that's still going on. Like, it's like, right, hip hop is damn near 40 years old.
I mean, you're right. It's like you gotta put a lot of pressure on them to understand, but it's like we also have our voice. We like to be heard when we want to be heard.
It's very true.
Right? Like, there's certain things that we'll go gung-ho about.
Right.
So then we rely on these, you know, corporations and these brands and these award committees to be like, oh, well, okay, yeah, hip-hop is 40 years old and we're making these great albums. But, you know, there's still other genres of music that are, you know, doing a lot more, you know, number-wise, like you said, album sales and, you know, concerts and all that other stuff. So it's like we still got to – we're the loudest culture. We're the loudest genre in this world.
Right.
Most influential.
Right, most influential. Absolutely. So there's no reason why we can't click a button and sign up.
Right.
There's no reason why we can't research, right, and go to meetings and, you know, discover, you know, new artists and, right, yada yada, like, so on and so forth. There's no reason why we can't do that.
Right.
And I just don't like the selectiveness that when this comes around, when Grammys come around, even when the Oscars come around, I just don't like the selectiveness that we choose to uphold. It's just, yeah, like we can do the work too.
So why do you feel that people don't try and sign up? I mean, you mentioned that you tweeted out the link, and I'm sure other people have kind of put the word out there. What do you think that it was holding people back from?
People don't want to. They don't want to be responsible. People don't, yeah, want to work. People don't want to say, you know, it's, people want, like, the social media has given so much instant gratification. It's heightened it so much, mm-hmm, that as soon as you want to do something, you want the results to be done right there. So we, right, sign up, we won't watch you to get a Grammy the next day.
No, it's true.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's a process. There's a screening process. Yeah. We got to go through these things, and you have to have qualifications and all these other things. And they don't want to, you know, and this is not just black people. This is the hip-hop culture as it's, you know, as it's well-diverse anyway. But we want those results right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think the patience has to be developed a little bit more when it comes to these type of things, because it is corporations. We do have to have a process. We do have to have a screening process. Not everyone's going to get accepted, but if you at least tried, yeah, you could say, like, listen, I tried to get in this, but they, this, yeah, yeah, they, yeah, didn't, definitely, you know.
I mean, I think what I hear from both of these two that I run with is, like, on the side, the accountability,
yeah,
you know, and like Lo said, there's not enough, you know, you don't want to be involved with the process because you don't want to be responsible, or you don't want to, like, have to go through it, or if something goes wrong, you don't want to be in that crowd where, like, well, it didn't work, you know, right, and, like, to an extent, we have to support more, but then on the other side, we just know that the Grammys hasn't actually stood for us ever, and until we start taking the steps you're talking about, like, they won't, like, for what? They don't see the point in it, right, you know, like,
it's crazy that they don't see the point in it.
But yeah, it is crazy. Like, yeah, still, they don't, yeah, see, yeah, it. So
I mean, it is crazy. Like, I just had this conversation with my mom the other day about it. And she's like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I was like, no. I was like, they don't really want us there. You know, it's a bigger issue. And I was like, business-wise, from a recording standpoint, we're probably the smallest genre. Like you said, like, the sales are not what they need to be, so on and so forth. And when you look at it, the country, Taylor Swift and people like that, like, we get it. But our influence from a marketing standpoint is the largest. So it's figuring out who to attack on, I think, that basis to be like, yo, okay, how do we take money away from you? Or how do we get you to notice that, you know, because you're going to use Beyonce in the beat drop when it goes to whatever. You're going to throw Pharrell and whoever else on the billboards all around, mm-hmm, the town. Last year they did a whole soundtrack and the headline act was Kendrick. But right, we saw Kendrick got nothing last year. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's interesting, you know, and that's how it is. But just knowing from as a kid, like, they don't want us there. Like, YG had a very influential album, but at the end of the day, they don't want their corporate dollars to see anybody from Compton with face, neck, and, you know, YG has tattoos in the back, right, of his head. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, suit or not, that's not the person they want to see.
But
now, like, we get it. We get, yeah,
listen,
we get it.
I get
have
it.
Have y'all been to Williamsburg? Have y'all been to Silver Lake?
Of course.
Tattoos are,
of course,
mainstream now.
But,
like, it is mainstream.
The dudes, like, that are, it depends there, on who got the tattoo.
Right. But what I'm saying, yeah, the dudes that are there are still the old folks. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, that's, so, like you said, when we start to get involved and, like, bring that age medium down, some, I think it would help. But it's just like right now, you know that that's not in place. But people like us, I think, are more willing, like, okay, we'll go through the process. But like you said, this generation isn't willing to. And it's like, that's, kind of like where the learning process is, I think.
It's interesting because, you know, like, hip hop is the like arbiter of new music. Like, I'm gonna keep it 100. Like, if hip hop didn't exist, like, everything would still sound like Boogie Nights.
Very true. True. Very true.
You're right.
Like, and it's nuts to me that, you know, the music that is like always on the forefront, always on the pulse of what's new. Like, I don't, as much as, you know, Death Grips did with their work or whatever, like, Yeezus is an album that you'll never hear again.
Right.
Ever. Mm-hmm. By anyone. Ever. And it's the kind of album that pushes music itself forward. And it's interesting that, like, it comes down to, I also have a theory that it comes down to the fact that hip hop is always outside of the Grammy scope because it's so forward in a lot of ways. And the Grammys are about what is as mainstream as possible. Yeah, like, what can my 7-year-old daughter listen to?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm.
That's pushing 2 million records on iTunes or whatever. That's got 50 million Spotify plays. And I think hip hop always kind of suffers from that. It's always kind of ahead of its time in that way as well. And I think that's part of the Grammy issue.
Yeah. They just don't want us. They don't want that culture really speaking. Because, like, if we get up there, we're going to say what they don't want us to say.
Wu-Tang's for the kids.
Yeah, like, it's right. Like, we got to just be 100. Right, right, right. We got to be really, really honest with ourselves. Like, they don't want us up there because, like, we know when we get up there, we're going to say the most. Right. Like, that's the stage to say whatever the fuck you got to say.
Right.
And that's hip-hop.
Right, and that's hip-hop. But they're not, and they're still on the outside of accepting that.
Yeah.
So, do you think that's going to, I know what you said earlier as far as signing up and that, but do you think that's more of a time issue? Is that more of a, you know, after time, you know, finally there's going to be somebody that crosses over to the point where it's going to be accepted to start letting those people in? Or is it something where hip-hop itself has to effectively boycott the Grammys?
It's just, say,
we don't want to be a part of this.
We used to have our own shows, right?
Yeah.
The Source Awards, How Great the Craziness.
And what happened?
Shout out.
I mean, we were with that. Me and a colleague were talking about that the other day. It's like, you know, what we may need, and it's been time, is an award show that, I guess, matters again. I think, you know, with all due respect,
you mean the BET Hip Hop Awards doesn't matter?
What I mean, it doesn't. We don't want to take away from what, you know, and
we don't want to take away from their legacy.
Yeah, what BET has done, and you know,
absolutely,
what they have done, and they're trying to do and accomplish, even with the Hip Hop Awards, but. We want to be recognized nationally,
right?
And BET reaches, you know, a certain scope.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't reach what the Grammys do. It doesn't reach what, you know, maybe Billboard or American Music Awards do. And I think at a point right now in hip-hop's career, being it's 40 years old, it's like, all right, fuck, man. Like, yeah, we love BET. Yeah, we love all that stuff. But it's like, dog, I want Album of the Year for the world to see.
You know, to
right. You feel what I'm saying? And that's what I think that's where the point we are at right now. So I think... And as much as I hate when Kanye does all this nonsense and whatever, but when he says, like, he wants the Grammy committees and these type of award shows to really respect the artistry, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. Because, like, Beck, you know, he's a, you know, weird guy. And this is Rosenberg was talking about this on Hot 97 earlier. He was like, Beck comes from a weird background in regards to alternative music. And he, you know, crossed over to hip-hop and did what he was doing. But, you know, our artistry has to be respected.
Yeah.
It's time for our artistry to be really, really respected. But I think, it goes back to my point I was making earlier. We have to step up, or we just have to step away.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're going to boycott, like, none of us can be there. None of us can be there. I'm talking about from producers. I'm talking about from songwriters. I'm talking about from engineers to DJs to whoever. Like, and I get that's a great photo op, and I get that's a great media op. But if we really want them to stop, you know, fucking with us, we got to stop fucking with them.
Yeah. But at what point will that have to happen?
It has to happen soon.
Yeah.
I think it has to happen, like, right now.
Yeah. Like, it should have happened.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those, like, we have had enough key players, per se, mm-hmm. or people that we look at as key players in the culture that should have enough influence where, especially with corporate dollars and such, that they should be able to go forward and be like, yo, we want to do an award show, but we want it to actually mean something to the recording industry. Because for the Grammys, there's people I want to win because I know people behind the scenes that you want to see get those accolades
mm-hmm.
because of what they can leverage later in their career.
Yeah.
Where, you know, sometimes winning a Soul Train award doesn't do that.
Right, right.
And it's not to say anything's bad about Soul Train or us having something for ourselves, but it's cool to have something for yourself, but if it doesn't legitimize it because, with anyone else like, in the world.
When you get nominated for a Grammy, like, you get... You get work off of nominations.
Yeah.
And not to say you don't get work off of nominations for BT or, you know, Source or whatever, but someone sees Grammy nominated on your rap sheet.
Stock goes up.
It's like, all right, like, let's go. Like, I'm cutting these checks.
It's the award.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, it's the award, and it's about time hip-hop starts being recognized not as just some niche...
cultural thing.
Hip hop is culture. Mm-hmm. It has been for at least 20 years,
and it will be. It will continue to be. Right. And you know, we have to really take care of it. We do.
Yeah. And the question is, though, is like, you know, is it do we infiltrate, like you were saying, like, you know, really get out there and like get in the process, and so we take over the process so that we have our own voices in it, or is it a situation that we create for ourselves? And I think that it's got to be both. If it's gonna work,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just think it's when you look at those two different playing fields, you say, do I try to infiltrate or do we step away? You know, you're always gonna have, and this is what sucks about it. You're always still gonna have that one person or those group of people that don't understand what the masses are talking about in terms of our culture. So they'll, for example, you'll have somebody that says, okay, yeah, let's boycott, but there's still somebody that's either nominated or whatever that wants to go in for that photo op, and it like destroys everything that everybody was talking about at that one point in time. So it's just kind of crazy just to see what's more effective and what's the role that's easier, do you guys feel, that's attainable at this point, boycotting or the effectiveness of trying to get in inside and infiltrating?
To me, I'm tired of the bickering and the bitching, so I would say just to boycott it. Like, if y'all are that mad, if people are that up in arms, and you don't want to do nothing about it, and you think that your efforts are going to go unnoticed, then step away from that shit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Step away from that shit. Don't worry. Don't mention Grammys in your songs. Don't mention in your interviews, nothing like that. Step away from it. Yeah. Like, if you feel that disrespected and that disregarded, it's just like, you know, an ex-chick that you used to deal with. You know she ain't treating you right, or you know she ain't... My nigga, it's time to get the fuck away.
Yeah.
Like, I know as much as the pussy was good and how great it looks outside and how good it looks on your arm,
mm-hmm.
I know you got to pull away from that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so I hope, you know, people of status, I hope the Jays and the Kanyes and the T.I.s and the Kendricks and, you know,
Diddy's.
The Coles and the Drakes and the Diddy's really wrangle up these guys and be like, listen, like, even Will Smith did it. You know, we've been down this road. Like, this is how you get, you know... This is how you get the attention of them.
Right.
And if they don't listen after that, then fuck them.
It's difficult, man, because hip-hop has always been... Part of hip-hop has always been like, yo, we have something to say.
Yeah.
Like, we have a voice, and we're trying to express it, and we want you to recognize it.
Right, right.
Like, that's a big deal in hip-hop. Like, getting people outside of the culture to recognize about what's happening in our community and what's going on in our heads and what makes us who we are. So I think it's difficult to do that, but I think it's... probably the best.
Yeah. And it's a pride thing too. Like, our culture is very prideful.
Very.
You know, we want everybody to recognize us, look at us. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go out and be like, hey, you know, I'm part of this too. We're very prideful. So I think
let
that's
me in.
Yeah, I think. Like, we've been knocking down doors for God knows how long anyway. Right. So when it comes
look
to this
at
shit.
Me.
Yeah,
like, come on.
It's like now, I'm dancing for the white man again.
Do you think since we're talking about, you know, not showing up, I mean, Kendrick won two this time. Do you think it was coincidental that he wasn't there, or do you think it was something to the point where shit, nigga just couldn't make it?
When you get nominated for a Grammy, you set aside time.
You will make
time for the Grammy. If you see that your name on the nomination and you know damn well you're probably not gonna win, but like I said, Grammy nominated on your rap sheet is something that's impeccable. Yeah. I think that was a silent statement from Kendrick.
Yeah.
I think Kendrick knew the relevance of him not being there would be more of a talked about thing than him being there, and they didn't even televise it to begin with.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like me not being there is not really going to make a difference
anyway. Right.
Yeah.
Like he wins too, but it got swept under the rug.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what impact am I going to make?
Right.
I'm not performing. I am not collaborating with nobody who's performing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'll stay in the crib.
Before we get to that next point, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think it was very much planned, not only on his part but the team.
Yeah.
And then for the day after the Grammys, we get
drop that
a song.
They know they're doing.
Like, yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing.
And so, you know, and even, you know, to an extent, me and Lo were talking about it this whole weekend. Like, you haven't heard a peep from Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nominated. So it's like, it's one of those, we didn't say anything, but it's a very loud statement because we're sitting here talking about it.
And he right he now. Made his little statement on Big Sean's record about he could give a fuck where the Grammys go. So I think that was his tone of mm-hmm. this year's ceremony.
Yeah.
Too.
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, when you get your heart broken like that, man,
right?
You make a masterpiece like that.
That's crazy.
And it, you know,
you're right.
You know, why would you go back? You know, the Grammys just need to. We do need to infiltrate the Grammys, and we do need our own. So the Grammys need to get it though. That
It's just crazy. We still saying
hip hop is it.
Yeah.
Hip hop is it.
They know that,
right?
They don't want to accept it. Yeah, they know it.
They're not ready to accept it.
It's time.
Yeah.
Now, how surprised was anybody at the fact that Iggy didn't win anything? Because that was the big conversation. Oh, she could win. She can get this. She can get that. And like you were saying, people were talking a gang of shit of what if, what if, what if. Now that she didn't, you know, what do you think the response should be from quote unquote hip hop at this point?
To go out and support your music now. Now, like, you talk about how everybody is on Iggy's dick and her singles and her album. It's like, okay, she didn't win. So now the gate is open. Let's go support. Let's go show our staying power. And this is nothing against Iggy, but it's like, there's way better music than Iggy Azalea. Mm-hmm. But she has support,
mm-hmm.
right? She has the consumer by the fucking throat. And because they know, like, they're going to buy her records regardless. All right, she didn't win. That's what's up. But all that noise we was making, those numbers and sales better go up.
Right.
Those ticket sales better go up. Merchandise better go up. Streams better go up. Everything that you can where you can consume music better go up.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty much it.
It has to be that way, man. It has to be the fact, you know, we have to support, you know, our records. And it's interesting, the records that we do support, like that J. Cole did.
Right.
What? Gold, right?
Yeah, I think he's at 800,000 right now.
No production, like no marketing at all, except for come to my house and listen to the record.
you know what I'm saying?
And I think that, you know, that's a sign. Like, we need to get back to personal one-on-one interaction with our fan base and, like, you know, things that were working before when people were selling, just when you could make a single and sell it for $5 and you know, make $1 million off that, it's not the case anymore. Yeah. So you have to go direct to market.
You gotta research. You gotta like really study, like, who's behind you, like who's buying your shit, who's you know, constantly tweeting at you, looking for new music or criticizing you, not to the point where they're hating, but it's just like having a they need the conversation with the fans. There's no conversation.
Right.
And I think, you know, Cole and even Kendrick right now is starting those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, Drake needs to do that. Wale does it.
Wale's amazing.
Wale, I mean, sometimes his conversation is a little bit loud, but they need to, you gotta come back to that. You know, you gotta come back to just finding out what the people want from you,
right,
and asking them directly, like, what is it that you want? And you don't got to listen to them, but it's just like, what do you need from me?
Conversation,
right? What are we doing here?
Having an understanding of your consumer,
right?
You know, and being able to still relate to them so that they continue.
Like, Cole knows his consumer.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
He knows what they want from
inside
him.
And out.
Right.
Which brings me to my next point. It's a good segue into, you know, how artists are putting their music out there. I mean, we've seen Beyonce do, you know, drop just a fucking album, go crazy with that shit.
Right.
We've seen Nipsey, you know what I'm saying, sell his album for $100 and then turn around and sell it for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then with J. Cole, his whole strategy. So the importance of branding and the rollout of people's albums, a lot of people are being more quiet and they're silently attacking and being more effective.
Right.
So let's kind of talk about that. I mean, the fact that these artists are figuring out, like you said, their audiences, their consumers, and really doing it in a way that's not traditional and succeeding.
Right.
It looks cool. It looks cool.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Talk about it.
Here comes the hate.
It looks cool. It looks cool, yo, to do that, yo. But honestly, I think there's a functional reason why people are dropping with no promotion. And that reason is that downloading has changed everything.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's better to come quiet.
Right.
Because no one knows that your record's going to drop, no one can look for it on some server in Russia.
Right.
And leak your shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or when no one around you knows, it becomes a secretive launch for everyone. Not even that, for the producers. The producer can't leak it. The engineer can't leak it. Right. You know? So I think that Beyonce's release was incredible for that reason. It was just like, well, it came off like, wow, you know, she's just, her fan base is so crazy, but it's really like, that's a Jay-Z move. Like, you can't trust anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just release it.
Very true.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I think it works on both ends. I think to an extent, like you said, with the surprise, it's harder for the leaks. And I think from a business standpoint, it's a lot of what it's done. Especially, I think Watch the Throne set the example for that. Like, people were waiting for that leak forever and never actually got it. But I think
people was tight about that.
Yeah, like upset.
Yo, you got the link. Like,
no, we were used to it. Yeah. You were spoiled on it.
You ain't got the link.
Fans feel like they're supposed to get it first.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think on the other side, when you mention those specific names, I think that they've created a base that buys into not only paying, but also buying into their hype. Like, we've seen on the mixtape circuit, people drop mixtapes out of nowhere every day. But for someone like Beyonce to drop that, like on a random weekend night, like girls are at a club turning up, whatever, and all of a sudden, Beyonce's
got
an album and it's got like 12 videos. How does she find the time to film these videos that nobody knew?
The club cleared out.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You know, for Cole, it's just like, oh, by the way, like, I got this album coming out. You're like, well, when were you doing this kind of thing? You know, like, there's rumors that Kendrick could drop any day now, and the fact that you're kind of curious to what the sound is like anyway.
Yeah.
If he was to drop tomorrow, it probably do 300k just because people were just sitting there and they want to be involved in the hype
anyway.
Yeah,
right.
You know, Nipsey was like, yeah, I'm dropping an album for $1,000, you can get the other one free, but he never gave you a release date. So people were just like, all right, well, I'm gonna prepay, all right, I'm looking for it. And when it came out, it was like, well, it sound good, and it's, you know, I don't want to say I haven't heard it, so I went out and I got it.
Right.
You know, I mean, he pushed over 60 copies of it. You know, it's 60 some g's he made.
Whew.
For New Year's Day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but I think with those people, like, it's like, even Wayne, besides his contract problems and issues, when this free album drops, I'm sure people are going to jump on it. But if Wayne got out of his contract problems and dropped it for sale,
same thing.
Tell me when nobody go buy it just to be like, same well,
thing. I'd buy it.
And because that hype train for them will get a consumer to be like, well, if I got to buy it to listen to it so I'm not the last person talking about it, let me go out there and do it.
I think it brings fun back. Like, it brings like the excitement. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know nothing about what Kendrick is doing right now.
Right.
You don't know if Jay's doing something right now. Drake, yay. Like, everybody is like, now they're like, okay, that's how you gotta do it. Yeah. Like, now that, like, to have fun is to have the conversation. Because it's like, all right, we get the first single, cool. We don't like it, now we're not invested no more.
Exactly.
Right? If the shit is trash, now it's like, all right. Now you can get the surprise shit and like, okay, I don't fuck with that shit, but everything else is dope.
Right.
But now you still have your audience, even a new audience, you still have their attention.
Yeah. And I think it kind of, it's a new way of the old school. Like, before, as kids, I barely remember the actual release date. You know what I mean? Like, you would go down to the record store and they'd be like,
you just knew every Tuesday.
Like, yeah, like this month, this is gonna come out. And you heard like one single. You probably had no idea what the rest of the album sounded like, but you're like, well, I fuck with the one single. Yeah. Or if you didn't, you fucked with the artist enough to be like, well, when it come out, I'm going to still check it out anyway. So you ran down there to the warehouse, Music Plus, Sam Goody, whatever it was, and you were like, yo, the new Outkast came out today, right? No, next Tuesday. Then you ran down the next Tuesday,
right.
You know, spent your money, went home, put it in, Walkman, whatever it was, soaked it in and was like, yo.
Right.
You memorized those dates that was on that wall. Yeah. Like, all right, Jan 24th, do whatever. Like, that's okay. Yeah. So you come back.
And you didn't have the internet to look for it either.
You just had to
remember. So now it's like you hear a release date and you're like, okay, well, November 24th, so probably like around the 12th.
it's probably gonna
leak.
And those are the sick calculations that we have. We're like, all right, like 3 weeks, two. Like, if you look at the type of artist it is, it's like he's kind of sloppy with his music. So, like, that should probably come out in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Rick Ross, that'll be out a month and a half.
And then you look at Big Sean is like, they're real quiet with their shit, so that might be like 2 days before the release. So it's like,
and I mean, when you lose control of your distribution, man,
all hell breaks loose.
It's over. Like, if you can't carry a product from point A to point B, it's over. Period. Doesn't matter what you're selling. So in a bid to control anything related to that, I am down for it, because it creates an excitement. Not like they're forcing you to listen to the album.
Right.
I was talking to Archie Davis, Dom manager, the other day, and he was like, I was in his office, so he was just telling me about Dom's, you know, his project coming up, and I was like, all right, well, let me hear some records. He's like, man, I don't even have any. Like, we take the computer to the mixer, and they master, they do all that shit, and then we take it right back. they don't give no chances. Like, they don't travel with it. It's just smart. It's in one room.
Yeah.
They record it's in this room. It stays between two places. And I'm sure Kendrick does that shit too. Like, they have people come to the studio. Like, they don't go and leave that shit.
Right. And it's that old Nino Brown. You gotta be naked in the room.
We bagging his dope up.
Dope. Right. Fuck around.
Don't have nothing you could slightly leave with it.
Exactly, man. Right. You know,
tuck that shit nowhere.
But nah, that's the fun part. Like, I like that. Yeah. I like not knowing and not, you know, knowing what's going on with your camp. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to be involved in your marketing plan. I don't need to know. Well, on this day, I mean, granted, I'm a blogger, so like, I kind of get wind of the shit like that. But the fans know these things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I should not know your marketing scheme before it's out.
Right.
Right.
You should slap me in the face with that shit.
And it's nuts because our fans know everything about an album. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, the demand is there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a fever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to buy it.
Right.
Like, you feel like you're an executive.
Right.
It's like,
you know?
And you making decisions, bro? Just buy this shit and shut up.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that, and that's even another discussion. It's just the social media issue, you know, how it heightens everything, and you know how we talked about being personable with the fans. Like, it's now like learning what's too much and what's not enough. Like, what's enough to interact with the fans, and when are you letting the fan dictate too much of your
because
career?
Because they want to stay a part of a conversation. Yeah. That's all it is. And Cole was talking about this. He was like, I don't need to be on Twitter every day or you know, interact and whatever. And it's not like that's not a bad thing, but it's like, he knows that people are looking for it. Like, he understands that the demand is still there, but it's not going to be there. And this is not a swipe at anybody who is on social media, but he knows that it just grows when he disappears.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's why when he dropped that the cover, niggas was like, wait, what's this?
Yeah. Because, and I think, too, like, sometimes the fans feel like the artist owes them too much, like, owes them everything. And then part of social media is, like, feeling like you're a part of their life even though you've never met them. So at one point, artists felt like, okay, I'm going to the studio, Ustream, I'm going to go here, that's Instagram, I'm going to go here, tweet this. And it's like,
enough. All right.
fans have all the power.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, so, and that's scary, too.
Yeah, and I think to some extent, some artists are learning how to put some of the power back
into them
on their side.
Have to.
And yeah, and it's going to, I think it'll affect the industry better down the line if more, or if these upcoming artists start paying attention to some of those
and it's
moves.
Only going
to
make the music better. Like, yeah. I cannot imagine what Illmatic would have sounded like if there were a million people tweeting at Nas, like, yo, fuck.
Right.
Large Pro. Like,
yeah.
I ain't like his album. Like, why are you working with him?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Or you know on some, like, yo, can you play the new song? Or like, now somebody feels, you know, pressured because
a fan.
Oh, I just did this hot song and I tweeted about it. I guess I gotta send it to Low Key tomorrow.
right.
You know, just hold on to it. You know what I mean? And if you have something that's really that timeless, you can release that a year later. No one else is gonna know because nobody heard it. But when I teased it on the internet a year ago, and somebody found a way to rip it and put a radio rip and send it to Funk Flex, and then like I heard half the song already, I don't want to hear it a year later.
It takes the experience away.
Yeah,
you can't fool me. Like, I'm computer literate, so I will be up in your source code. Yeah, man.
So
slide right into your source code, dog.
That's stupid. Yeah,
Now we were talking about this. We were saying Drake's quiet, Kendrick's quiet. You know, what are the expectations for 2015? So who are some of the people that you're looking for as far as dropping that you're like, yo, this person is gonna come with some shit? And you know, what are the expectations that you guys have as of right now? And then we'll kind of have a conversation about 2014 and what the expectations were and who actually delivered.
I'm after hearing it, I'm just excited for Sean shit. Like, it's just that I don't know what happened at the end of the year, or I don't know who got in his ear, or what, you know, maybe it was his girlfriend changed or buying a new house, but that he just sounds rejuvenated, refreshed. Like, and even though the tone of the album is pretty dark, it just sounds like he really found himself and is really comfortable with knowing who he is and who he's about to become. Because that project, I wasn't expecting it to be that. After hearing the last one, you know, like, I wasn't, Hall of Fame was not trash, but it was just like, compared to what we're listening to now, was trash.
Right.
But it's just like, damn, like, I'm just, and I'm now, my expectations for everyone else
is jumped up.
Because I know how good Drake is, and I know how good Kendrick is, and I know how good Wale is. Like, and out of all of them, you know, Sean is the underdog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sean has always been the underdog. Right. But now hearing how he stepped his shit up, that bar is set for Drake. That bar is really set for Kendrick, and that bar is really set for Wale. And I know, you know, Cole, you know, brought his A game, and I think that, you know, may have wore it off on Sean. So when niggas get wind of what Sean's doing, niggas might have to rethink some things, and, you know.
this is his J. Cole moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's his third studio album for retail, and, like, he's rapping really angry.
He's rapping really good.
And
I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, no disrespect at all, but, you know, Sean, sometimes you would, he's on a record with somebody else, you kind of want to hear somebody else. But that Blessings record, man, like,
and the B-Boy verse,
absolutely, he's been murdering everything. I'm looking forward to it.
Like, yeah, now I want to hear his feature verses. Now I want to hear what, you know, I just want to hear all the, and, like, we heard the album, and it's just like, this kid, like, he got it now.
I've never really been a big Sean fan like that. Like, I've heard verses, I've heard songs, and my boy hit me the other day, like, yo, are you really tweeting about Big Sean's album right now?
Something's wrong with you.
Are you okay?
What's going on?
You must really, and I was like, he was like, it must have done something because you never tweet about Big Sean. Mm. Like, I've been following you and we've been friends for years. I can't recall. But, you know, like Lo said, like, there's something that hit him or a few things that hit him. And he's in a zone where I didn't go in with any expectations. I just like, all right, well, let me go check it out. And when I left, I was like, I'm actually waiting for this record to drop so I can buy it and play it. I just said that about a Big Sean record. So, yeah. But, I mean, as far as 2015, if it all plays out right and if we decide we want to support the Grammys next year, it could be a very,
very good,
crazy good Grammys for not only hip-hop, you know, as the music genre, but for the fans, you know, where when we're having these debates on Twitter or whatever they are, they sound more merited. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind debating who has best rap album of the year if we're talking Big Sean, Drake, Kendrick, Jay, Kanye, and, you know, whoever else might drop in there, or somebody who puts out a record where you weren't expecting, and you're like, yo, but you can't talk about him. that guy, right? You know, so I think from that standpoint, it could be very good. And I think just like with the different qualities and the expectations and how people have to do things now, like the expectations and the bar is set pretty high because these are some pretty big names, you know, and Jay and Ye, you know, there's a lot of talk about them not being as relevant, even though they stay
in relevant the conversation,
in the
media,
but like album wise, what is their relevancy?
That's what I'm talking about. This is the year that I call them the draft class of 2009.
They got here.
You know what I'm saying? Sean, I mean, because Cole and Nicki had late releases. Their big mixtapes came out in 09, you know, 2010, and the whole class. This is the time where we transfer power over from the J and the Ye's to the Big Sean's.
Yeah, and I think, and that's the conversation I think that Sean, you know, maybe had with Kanye or whoever, but I think now Sean realizes, like, this is the year.
Yeah.
Right? This is the year where it's like, all right, I'm going to get a Grammy. This is the year where I'm going to get, you know, a top five discussion. Mm-hmm. This is the year where I might move past the Drake or I might move past the Kendrick. Like, I think he has the material to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So now I think, you know, Jay and Kanye may have to scale back a little bit and let these guys really go at it. Because Jay did it with X and with Ja and Nas, and like they went at it. So it's like, we want to see these guys. And granted, like, if Jay drops something, yeah, we're going to run to it. If Kanye drops something, we're going to run to it. But I'm more excited to hear what these kids got to say.
No, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, when I mention Jay and Kanye, it's more of those, like, because we've kind of looked at them as something else anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say Jay is able to pull off another American Gangster type record. You know, like, let's not go for the mainstream. Let me just make something conceptual or something that's just like, I got back to here, I had some fun. And you're like, yo, Jay's record was kind of... And then, you know, Yeezus 2 drops and there's more bullshit to people. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you start to go, well, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I'd rather listen to Big Sean than Kanye right now. You know what I mean? Or like, yo, Jay-Z's out here competing with the youngins.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, yo, just when we thought we could write Kanye off, he killed us with this one. Or it's just like, yo, Drake might be the best, you know, after whatever he puts out. Or, you know, damn, Kendrick's in a whole other world. Like, we can't even look at him like these niggas anymore. Like, he's over here. Like, this to me is that time where we'll probably get to see that transition one way or the other.
Right.
I think, like I said, I think we see it in Sean. And I think Drake is, I know we're seeing it in Kendrick. Kendrick has his tone, you know, the making sure the his awareness of black culture is on a mainstream front, you know. And Sean is just getting to him, and so I'm really interested what angle Drake is going to take.
Yeah, I mean, it's around the third album, you know, people really start to enter their prime.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing right now. I think that all of these guys are coming into their prime. I mean, Drake's songwriting skills are off the charts right now. Kendrick, that last record was, I didn't even think anyone could still get away with making a record like that.
That's the beauty of it, that he's taking his voice, and we hang on everything Kendrick does because, again, like Cole, he pulls back and he disappears. But, you know, he makes his appearances and shows, whatever. But when it comes to music, it's very calculated. So when we do get those type of militant records, what you said is, like, crazy that we can still get those records played and people still discuss that. Lord knows what that album's gonna sound like.
Oh, right.
Man. Lord knows what the shit he's gonna say on that album.
I've heard some great things, but I've heard nothing except for what we've heard so far.
And that's and to have an artist that young and that pure to do those things and to speak like that, I think hip hop this year, this could be a great, great year.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I know. Let's take it back for 2014. What album or artist do you feel like, you know, the expectations were high, but maybe it disappointed you a little bit, you know, as far as what they've done.
Who, I mean, YG, Pusher
Wiz
came
Khalifa
on.
Disappointed me.
Wiz Khalifa.
I never look at Wiz.
No.
I never look at Wiz like.
I hear you. No, like,
you know, I just never look at it like that.
Yeah, everyone wants Cushion orange juice.
Again. I just I just look at it like. And I like Black Hollywood. I'm not. It was cool to me.
I thought it was like one of his weakest things ever. But album. But, like, the other thing I'm just saying Wiz because I was a fan. Like, I'm not a weed smoker, but Cushion Orange Juice was, like, a conversion process of just, like, as a non-weed smoker, I'm like, yo, throw a Cushion Orange Juice.
I need that.
You know, but, like, I've always understood that Wiz has a lot of crossover potential, and he's always made certain records. But it was just, like, something about that just felt rushed, thrown together, and, like, I'm trying to find myself again, and he's lost.
I just think Wiz knows he has his fan base. I just think he knows that, and I think when an artist knows that, they kind of stray away from trying to find it. Like when you can tour, who's he touring with? Well, not Maroon 5, Fall Out Boy.
Yeah,
he stays on the road.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So it's like, why am I in the studio trying to bust my chops and stress when I can make half a mil a show whenever I want.
I listened to that album, you know, just in a setting or whatever, and then I went to a concert, and I can honestly say that album smacks at a concert.
Dog, like, he's got some records on.
He definitely has some records on there.
But it's just not a good listen.
You can't sit and digest it like, oh, this is.
And I think maybe my opinion got tainted when I saw it up for a Grammy. And I was just kind of like, this album was straight, but like a Grammy nominated album?
It was
and YG's, but you get it you at get the same
it.
Time.
Like, yeah, that's what I was about to, I was about to ask. Like, you get it. Like, why?
But I'm just
not
like,
to say, like, he didn't deserve it, but I definitely understand, like, the dynamics of leaving it and then having this. So it's like,
But, you know, the Grammys used to be a place where certain albums could get on the list, at least for nominations. I mean, Dr. Dre's 2001 was nominated.
Right.
I mean, we also got to look at Schoolboy Q was nominated too. He was Oxymoron was nominated. And that's not a friendly album either. So it's like we can't really take away from the efforts that people put in last year. But YG's album was talked about and it was, you know, heightened and
very
championed. So they got that wrong. But Schoolboy definitely deserved a nod.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. In terms of records that, you know, disappointed me a little bit, you know, I'm a huge Ab Soul fan, and Control System was that album, and, you know, the follow up
wasn't where you.
I just missed it. He just missed me. I'm not gonna say that it was. It wasn't, you know, because sonically it was there, and the production was flawless, But it just missed me, yo. And I don't know why. I really, I still don't know why.
I don't
figure it out. Huh?
Yeah.
I like Jeezy's album.
I did. That was a personal top five.
Yeah, it's personal. I don't think it did what it was supposed to, but there was just something off about it.
Oh, I know the disappointments now.
There was something off about it. I don't want to say I was disappointed. I was. Is Let Down the same?
kind of.
That's pretty much.
But maybe it's like a personal letdown.
Yeah.
It was a good album. Like, you did what you're supposed to do. You probably should have done a little more. But as a big fan,
didn't meet your expectations.
I feel like you could have given me some more.
There was something that was just like a big gap in that album. Yeah.
I can't put
my hand on
it. Even though it was like one of my top five, but I think part of that speaks to I can't think of too much album wise that really said I'm gonna stick with you for the rest of you know, like Cole to me that was late, so like I'm still playing that now, but that wasn't like something that was with me through 2014. Like I had a lot of songs I liked from 2014, but albums few and far between.
Yeah, I mean YG's album stuck with me.
Yeah, like I had Q, I had
Pusha's album stuck with me.
Yeah, I had Pusha, Q, YG, Jeezy. And the fifth one is escaping me at the moment. But, like, if you want to talk disappointments, I'm going to go with Officer Ross.
Ross, that, yeah?
Ricardo Ross gave us two bricks.
Damn.
Like, he did.
I mean, like, one was a brick and one was an air ball.
Well, damn. I mean,
neither
one of them got the many points. They did not fill the stat sheet.
He's just
I would say the initial hype train for Mastermind, like you felt like, okay, this is, you're gonna do something mainstream. Like Puff got behind it, and you were like, all right, you're gonna get a little different sound, okay. And then after, like, you know, I went to the listening thing, little theater, you know, video show, glitz, glamour, waitresses and whatever, you know, typical raw shit. I was like, all right, this is cool. Let me fuck with it. After like a week, I was like, you know,
couldn't do it.
It just ain't quiet. These wheels are not spinning. And then, you know, then it was like, yo, hardest working guy in showbiz, another one dropping at the end of the year. And I'm like,
Lord have mercy.
Okay. And then I went to that listening session. You know, he had a live, like, orchestra playing his joints, like his old stuff. And I'm like, okay, got the champagne going, you know, women posed as mannequins painted in gold, lavish shit. You're like, all right, he about to play like he about to play like something like Jesus might have A&R'd this. And then he played it, and I was like, this is cool. But once I got the album and listened to it, I noticed, I was like, oh, so you only played the choice cuts from the album. Because when he played, I was like, oh, it's like back to 11, 12, you know, songs. Like, this should be, like, quick to the point, like the old Ross album, deeper than rap type. Okay. Fucking with you, Ross. Then I was like, yo, there's like 8 songs too many. Those 8 too many songs all sound the same. And it was just like, yo, Ross, you're losing right now. Like, in.
He lost
young boys might come and just.
He lost control of it. He lost control of it. There's nothing. I'm not. Yeah. If he announced some shit today, I wouldn't be excited for it.
Nah, not at all.
I don't know. I don't know if that album. I don't know if Head Billionaire comes out if Meek Mill is not.
No, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well, that's hard to say though.
No, it doesn't.
Because no, but that's a Def Jam release and Meek's over there.
Right, but you still don't want to cause confusion. You don't want to bundle the. Because when they promote, like, it's big.
Yeah, especially with Meek.
So I don't think, that was a safe face type album. I guess he had to take that brick. I don't know if that was intentional. Like, all right, I'm going to take this bullet for you.
I think it might have been. And I don't, you know, I listen to the album, man, and then I hate comparing catalogs. Like, I hate comparing one person's album to a previous album they made. And, but when I listened to it, I was like, nah, this is not Ross. And I listened to Teflon Don, and I was like,
this is Ross.
Which one did you feel wasn't Ross?
Hood Billionaire.
I felt Mastermind wasn't Ross.
Really?
I felt it was very
one that Diddy
trying to
hell.
Make him Biggie.
Oh, I see.
And I felt like, even when I saw at the release, because Ross was at both of them, how he was moving and like just his emotion for Hood Billionaire felt like that's what he wanted to make. And Mastermind was kind of like, Ross said, you want a bigger Ciroc deal? Right. You make this kind of thing. You know, and it was one of those things too, like, I mean, if Def Jam was listening to this and said I was wrong, so be it. But like the album, from what I heard from people, was supposed to come out at a certain date and it wasn't picking up any steam. And Diddy came through there, bought out a studio in Hollywood for like 2 weeks, and basically had Ross here, Meek over there, and like all the old Bad Boy here, and was like, this gets done by this time. So it just felt like a very, this was Ross's stake. Diddy's stake in Ross's career, and Hood Billionaire was like, yeah, I'd rather be making this. But neither one of them seemed to really put him in a different light to the consumer. It's just like, oh, okay, Ross is out with another mixtape, this guy's his album.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't, I'm going to be frank and say I didn't personally like either record.
I didn't care for either record. Yeah. I mean, it was choice cuts. Like, if I could make an EP, I'd put three or four.
I'm from both of them.
From both of them.
Yeah. And I'm in the process of basically taking those and putting them on one list. And, just, and that's
my Ross album.
And, yeah, right. And everything else goes.
Right. That's fine.
So, you know, Hood Mastermind. Mastermind, Billionaire, whatever it is, but it's not going to be two different albums.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's taking up space on my hard drive.
Yeah. I took both of them off my iPod. I'm like, yeah, you gotta go, buddy.
I mean, 2014 was a year of old heads coming back and doing, you know, like That Lady shit. Peoples came out of nowhere. Yeah. D-Unit came out of nowhere.
It's true.
You know, all of these old legacy acts came out of nowhere. Yeah. Common made like a young sounding record.
Yeah. Dipset started doing
it. Dipset came back. Right. Like, how many reunions? You know what I'm saying?
The Locks dropped in the
year. The Locks dropped. Yeah.
Was that
like three EPs?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, different records. You know what I'm saying?
It's like three records with three songs each or something like that.
They really try to make their song.
So it was a lot of artists that people from this generation don't really have a stake in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it didn't get promotion at all, and it didn't get any limelight, and it didn't get played on the radio. And then it was just like 2014 is a down year.
Yeah. You know? I definitely can agree with that. Like, overall, it was very underwhelming.
Right.
I swept it under the rug.
I'm like, I think it was a lot of, let's get this out of here. I think it was a lot of, too, like, what it felt like was, like, with the old heads, like, occupying that time and space while the younger one said, let me work on this a little longer. Like, rather than just like, let me throw something out this year, because we're supposed to, like, you know what, actually,
like, y'all take some more time. Y'all can have
it. Y'all go run with it.
Because I'm doing it now.
You know, as these albums that we're talking about come out in 2015, I think we're going to care less about what G-Unit does next, or the fact that Dipset got together again for like the umpteenth time to not put out anything we care about again.
Right.
You know, so I think that's kind of what happened with...
Did Wu-Tang put an album too?
Yes, that's right.
The Million Dollar Record. The Million Dollar Record.
I heard it's like the happiest Wu-Tang album ever.
Yo, A Better Tomorrow side? Yo.
I don't know about the happy
Method
Wu-Tang,
literally
man.
Said, pull up your pants on one hook, and I was you're Wu-Tang, so I'm here for it.
They always for the kids.
I hear you.
Lord of mercy.
I would say, I think what got overlooked in 2014, because that's my fifth album, Big Crit.
Cadillac was incredible.
They don't ever pay attention to him.
It was his best album, like, easy.
I really fuck heavy with that album. And then, like, when I think about it, I'm like, a lot of people had no idea that it was, like, if you were a Crit fan, you knew. Right. You know what I mean? Or, like, if you had friends who were Crit fans,
you knew about it.
Yeah. Spark Lokes, you know. You know what I mean?
Me and Spark Lokes, you know, we listened to the album. We were like, yo,
this is it.
This is the first day.
Yeah.
I think also this year was a bit of a introduction to some of the younger cats. Like, I think, like, the Kazes and Vince Staples like, a lot of those type of acts were able to kind of, like, jump in there, too, and be like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm getting my way here, too.
Like, we're going to be in the mix in a minute. I think this was a good time for those kind of artists to stick their neck out and, you know, get their feet wet where, like, I don't see them in a Grammy conversation next year, but I'm curious to see what they do. Well, not next, but this year, what they do, you know, based off of the introductory records and what they're looking to give us this year?
Vince Staples was is someone that I'm looking out for, man, because yo, that EP was crazy. The beats on that EP was crazy. His wordplay was crazy. Yeah. And he's an interesting guy. Like, we talk to him a lot, and he's just very, very frank and straightforward. Right. But he's a brilliant mind, man. And I think that he really has enough talent.
I like Kaz. Yeah. I like his humble energy. Mm-hmm. I like his and I heard about him before he did the Dreamville thing, and I just that video where he's walking through the alley and everything, like, I'm like, okay, this kid, I like this guy.
Yeah, his voice is
really good. Like, I like his tone. I like his energy. Yeah,
dreams of being rich.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I'm going to take it the next step, you know, because here at Homegrown Radio, we like to really champion the artists that really don't have that name. They're not associated with any major artists. You know what I'm saying? They don't have no label deals or anything like that. So take it to the next step. Who's somebody out there that, you know, may not get any love on the blogs that, personally, you guys are checking for, like, yo, when this motherfucker get his shit together, this the person needs to be checking for it, or they're working on it right now. Somebody that nobody's possibly heard of, but you kind of have the upper edge as far as knowing about this particular person.
I don't want to say. Well, it's like a couple people. Tink from Chicago. Okay. I mean, she's got Timbaland behind her, but you know, she made like one song, and it kind of. I mean, it did what it did, but, like, she's not in the conversation. And then Manolo Rose is doing what he's doing. And then this kid from New York named Wreck a Million. I'm doing a little bit of work with him, but, like, he's just a good rapper. Mm-hmm. Like, he raps. And then, I think that's... And Asia Sparks from Philly.
Okay.
I like Asia Sparks from Philly a lot. Very, like, I wouldn't say female Meek, the female Meek, but, you know, she's very aggressive. Very, very, very true to her raps. And I mean, she's pretty too, but you know, she's just like a nice, like, Foxy and Meek put together.
Right.
You know, so those are like the three or four.
I really fuck with you know, that was going on in Atlanta. So I guess Key from down there, I've been looking out for him for a while to like really get it together and blow. He's kind of involved in everything but doesn't really get the credit for anything, so that's cool. Tink, like you mentioned, she's really, really dope over alternate production.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's on a record with Future Brown right now, which is incredible. Hopefully that blows up. You know, I've been looking for someone from New York.
They're there. You just gotta, it's hard because you gotta just dig.
Yeah.
They're there.
And I just, I haven't been able to find anyone yet that I can really get behind as a horse. But really, those two are the really two that I'm looking for to have a big coming of age soon, you know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Easy.
So I might be working with some of them, so I don't really want to put their business out there just yet. But yeah, I don't have any real names to give, just because, I mean, you know, especially around town, like you and I deal with so many people.
Right.
Like, it's. I need to sit there with some of these people and be like, yeah, this one. You might got it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, the person right now that I can say is sticking forth in my head, like, he's got all the right cosigns now and doesn't really have a problem on the blogs. But I'm really looking forward to what Scheme's able to do with his upcoming project.
That shit is serious.
Like, I think he's found not only his sound, but, like, we've always known he's had, like, a southern flavor to him. Mm-hmm. But I think now he's working with the right, and this isn't even including Drama and Canon, but just like the artists that he's working with on this project as far as features, like, he's got some southern love that I think will kind of give him that cosign outside. Like, people here, like, they come up to me and they're like, oh, you know Scheme? Like, oh, man, like, I just got wind of him, or people are like, yo, what's going on with Scheme? Because we see him around. But now I think he's putting himself in a position to actually now get out of just the local scene and be like, hey, I know you've been seeing my name, but now this is why people have been talking about me. So
I forgot, there's two white boys, OB Bryan with OVO, and then Lil Dicky.
Oh, okay.
I love Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky. Whoa. Lil Dicky.
Hold on, that didn't sound right. I mean, I love Lil Dicky.
Whoa. Nah, Lil Dicky. Easy. Pause. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
His tape came out 2013. It's called So Hard.
Okay.
That white boy can And he's funny, but that white boy can go.
That's what I heard.
That white boy can. He's going on tour this spring again. That kid can go.
I'm also looking forward to Thur's next project.
I really liked
his last one. And I'm looking forward to like that, the evolution of that kind of funk sound. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people are doing it, so I think it should be interesting.
It's not mine.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of. I mean, just for me, because Chuck knows, like, I deal with a lot of the local scene, but there's a lot of the locals that we've seen for a while that even got some attention that are kind of back to work on some things that I'm curious of seeing. Like, we talk about Thurs, but Y.O.
You know, he's been
working on some stuff, and I don't know if people have been checking it out, but...
Because he's been releasing stuff here.
He's hanging out with Miguel. You know what I mean? So... You know, hanging out, when you're hanging out with musicians, you know how that leads to collaboration. So it's like, if these two end up working together, like, I'm curious to see what that comes together as. You know, people think Pac Div don't get along, but every time I'm out, I see all of them. You know what I mean?
I want a project from them.
Yeah, so, you know, so who knows what's going on. Like, we know Mibs is always active, because as long as I know Mibs, he's the member who's never going to stop rapping. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a dude who just, oh, there's a cypher, I'll jump in here, kill him, and then go on about my day. So, but I'm curious to see, you know, if they start moving back into the lab, just because, you know, they've been collaborating on each other's solos. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, so what does this mean for the group dynamic? So.
Okay. Well, look, I thought we've been talking for about an hour now.
Yeah.
I think it's a good segue to, you know, kind of end this thing.
Yeah.
And shit, we still ain't got no name, right?
Let me see. Let me give 30 seconds. Let me see.
We have a name for this thing, man.
Homegrown Radio.
Bless us.
We out here. Inglewood.
Low key to God.
So this is the second round table discussion.
Say it again?
It's a round table discussion.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. It's the round
table.
Putting it together. Man, this is how to influence a work. You're hearing some greatness right now.
He's calling the play, ladies and gentlemen. He's calling the play.
There will be video footage soon.
Video footage? Let me see. Three people, right? Three guests all the time?
For the most part, yeah.
This is what I call it. Like the pot.
Maybe the pot.
Okay.
Because you're putting everything in. Yeah. Just throwing shit around, we turn it around, trying to figure out what's going on, mixing it up, and then we finally come out. It's the pot. We open it up.
Shit.
Some is hot, some is
cold.
There
it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why he's low key to God.
I mean, if you don't like it, just, you know, this is my suggestion.
I like that right now. We just got to remember. Like,
I don't know, or the melting pot, or the pot, whatever. Yeah, you know, just something like when you throw stuff in there.
I just like that.
We got to remember. If some money start coming in, we got to cut him a check now.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to cut him a check now.
Yeah.
No, you're looking at it. I mean, like, how about, I was thinking, like This Rap Life. How about that?
This Rap Life.
Yeah.
Because it speaks to what we are. Like, right. What, yeah. Okay.
Since we're not the same people every time.
Very true. Right.
So, you know.
I like This Rap Life. I like that.
I'm note that down, too. Okay. This Rap Life, the pot.
Just taking these notes.
I'm loving
it. Either one, I'm comfortable with.
I like it.
Well, real quick, you know, before we sign off, I definitely want to thank you guys for coming on through.
Thank you for having us, man.
Definitely, thanks for having us.
Sharing your insight, you know, sharing your knowledge and, you know, the personalities. So if people want to get in contact with you, go on and share how they can do that.
If you want to, you know, get in contact with me, check out what I'm doing. You can catch me at youheardthatnew.com, obviously. You can catch me on Twitter at Lowkey, LOWKEYUHTN. And that's the same for my Instagram. I do not have Snapchat. I think I'm a little too old for that.
Exactly.
I'm just not on this story shit. And I just can't do it. Yeah, so. just you heard that new Twitter, LowkeyUHTN. I'm really, you know, good and prompt with the discussions and the responses. So, you know, just don't get fly with your mouth and we can
keep it going.
Have some fun.
That's real talk. Don't get fly with your mouth.
You know, Twitter, they love to get whack, yo. I'm like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
don't
really?
Like, don't come on, at man. Me crazy. Yeah. I'm not going to put my work email out, but,
Yeah, no work email.
No, you can find, like, my work at hiphopdx.com. And you can also just reach out to me on Twitter at DreDrones. And on Instagram at DreJones98. As he said, don't get fly with your mouth.
Please don't. Like, we here for the common thing. Discuss hip hop.
You don't want to see
Yeah, like,
you don't want to see that side.
I don't like that.
You don't want to see that side.
I don't like that. I get real rude and disrespectful, and I'm not a tough guy, but it's just like some of y'all just gotta just relax. Yeah. Like
keyboard gangsters.
Yeah, all these bitches on Twitter and Instagram, you want to just play. Come on.
Thumb thugs, don't
they? Thumb thugs.
That's what it is.
Thumb thuggery.
Not with it, man. They get mad when you don't agree with they. Like, oh, I like this song. You fucking whack, nigga.
Right.
Fucking whack,
no,
B.
No, what's crazy about...
Like, what?
I show up at your house.
I just said I ain't like the song.
What's crazy is they slot up in your mentions like, yo, man, it's fucking whack. Yeah. And you be like, oh, word. And be like, yo, but yo, thanks for reaching out.
No.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yo, man, we got a bill.
Like, you don't.
Check out this link.
Yeah, like, you just... Whoa, said I was a dumb motherfucker.
Right. She was like, nah,
and
nah,
then
like,
because I responded, you but we got a bill, man. Right. Like, you got to do it for the culture.
Yo, thanks for responding. Yo, mixtape in my bio.
I'm like, my nigga, you just built this wall. Like, you good now? Like,
you
fuck all that.
You
could
have just said what up, but yeah, it was not too.
Easy, gonna go and tell them how they can find you, man.
I'm on Twitter all the time. It's like my house. Easy, E A Z E E. Instagram, E A Z E E T H O. Easy though, and Easy. Street street.com. We'll be back shortly after All Star.
Wait,
your
Instagram
break.
Is Easy though?
Easy though.
Easy.
Cause some like furniture dumb company or something got Easy and they ain't posted in like 2 years.
Nah, Easy though is better though.
Yeah, I like Easy though. I like better. It, but this whole time I thought it was Easy or Easy Street. I'm
sure Easy though better though.
Easy though.
And you can find me at I am Chuck Dizzle, Instagram, Twitter. Of course, homegrownradio.net, Thursday nights. Shouts out to Miss Bliss, DJ Head. Catch us live 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Where we bring radio back to its roots. And shit, on that note, we out.
Peace.
My name. Peace out, y'all.